Christopher O'Reilly here, and the podcast you're about to hear, with its theme of Jewish music and Jewish composers, has a rich and thoughtful tone to it. The teenage violinist who just won the Boston Symphony Orchestra competition gives a particularly arresting performance of the music of Ravel. His passion for the instrument comes naturally, as he's the grandson of one of the greatest female violinists in Armenian history. It's a great story. Enjoy the show.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. We're at the William Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. Our thanks to the museum and the Molly Blank Fund for making this show possible. In addition to celebrating the contemporary Jewish experience in general, the Bremen has a unique collection of art and memorabilia that chronicles the history of Jews in Atlanta and the southern United States. Our show is part of the museum's Molly Blank concert series, which focuses on Jewish contributions to the field of music, so that's exactly what this From the Top is going to do. All the young musicians on today's show will be performing Jewish music or music by Jewish composers. There will be music by Aaron Copland, George Gershwin, and Maurice Ravel, one of the Goyim. But he who wrote one of the most beautiful settings ever of the Mourner's Kaddish, so Maurice is an honorary Jew today. And then there's Darius Milhaud, also a Frenchman born to a Jewish family in Aix-en-Provence. We're going to start the show with three movements of his suite for violin, clarinet, and piano. To perform this music with me, we have two From the Top alums, Sain Ahn, 19-year-old violinist, and Alec Manassi, 18-year-old clarinetist. These two are both students now at the Juilliard School in New York. When you guys are ready, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
Zane Ahn, 19-year-old violinist, and Alec Manassi, 18, both studying at the Juilliard School, joined me in three movements of Darius Milhaud's Suite for Violin and Clarinet and Piano, Overture, Je, and Finale. Well, that was a special pleasure having the two of you return to the show just for that piece. You're both sounding fantastic. Zane, when you were on our show before, you were emulating the playing of one particular violinist, but you say you're not down that path so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
So my favorite violinist has been always a Dutch violinist named Janine Johnson. And I actually mentioned her name every show I was on here. And she's been such a big inspiration in my musical playing. I always used to imitate her playing, like play with the same kind of vibrato that she would play with and like the same kind of bow pressure. But now I'm starting to realize that imitating her sound may not be the best idea because it hinders me from finding my own sound, which my violin teacher at Juilliard, Catherine Cho, she taught me to. She told me not to listen to too much recording of Janine and to try to find my own sound, which I really think is what college is all about. It's all about like finding your own identity.
Well, bless you for doing that as a positive sort of reinforcement. I know in my years at conservatory, we were always defining ourselves by listening to other pianists and saying, "Oh, I would never do it like that," or "Oh, I'd never play like that." And here you've channeled your adoration of Janine, a wonderful violinist, who we actually had talking to you via the phone on last time
so
you were on the show. You know, having that role model and then going there on your own. Mm. It's wonderful to hear. Alec, your major influences come from right in your family. Both your parents are musicians, but I know your identity was also profoundly influenced by your grandfather.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor, and you know, it makes it incredibly meaningful to get to play here and for all of you. And given what he went through, he was, to me, just sort of like the perfect example of how a person should live. It was rare to have an encounter with him in his home or somewhere else where you weren't eating delicious food or just laughing like crazy or anything you can think of, really. I mean, he was forgiving, he was understanding, really.
And living
really a role
loud.
Model. Yeah.
Living
yes.
Loud.
Yes. He well, talked very loud too.
Yes. Right. Well, it's as I say, great and really inspiring to have you both back on the program. You're both sounding so fantastic.
Thank you for
joining us here. Zane Ahn, 19 years old, and Alec Manassi, 18 years old, two From the Top alums.
It's so easy to have From the Top delivered right to your mobile device. Simply sign up for our podcast at iTunes or fromthetop.org. The episode titles show up as we release them, and you can download the ones you want to listen to anytime. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Today we're doing a show at the Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's time to hear a talented 18-year-old violinist play a quintessentially Jewish piece of music. Please welcome from Belmont, Massachusetts, 18-year-old Haig Hovsepian. Haig, please introduce this extraordinarily beautiful piece of music.
I will be playing Kaddish by Maurice Ravel, which is a very sacred Jewish prayer for the dead.
Thank you. Haig Hovsepian, 18-year-old violinist from Belmont, Massachusetts, performed Kaddish from Two Hebrew Melodies by Maurice Ravel. Such a moving performance. A prayer, really, of course.
Yeah, thank
Bravo,
you.
Bravo, Haig.
Thank you.
So far, we've been talking about people who've had significant influence on the lives of our young performers, and you've had a couple of amazing women to look up to yourself. First of all, your mom. Here you are playing with her. That's the music of Armenian Yerevan Sardarian. But as a musician herself, she wasn't so sure she wanted you to pursue music.
Yeah, that's it's a funny story, actually. So basically, she said that if I have a kid, no chance, no way, they're not going into music. It's not all the glamour it seems to be. It is. It's a tough life, and we already have enough musicians in the family. That's enough. So my mom's good friend, one of my mom's good friends, is a violin teacher, and she had just recently got a small baby violin. And she said, "Can you just bring him over for a little bit? I just want to see how it sounds, how it looks, how it feels, everything." So we went over to her house, and she put it on my shoulder, and it fit perfectly. So she said, "Okay, just pull a couple notes. Just play a couple notes. We'll see how it sounds." And I did, and then she said, "How about a couple try lessons? We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it is." And we did that, too, and it just kind of spiraled, and my mom couldn't stop fate. So
there you go. And then there's a violinist from your family who's your idol.
Yeah, my grandmother, Anahit Tsitsikian, although I've never met her, she died before I had a chance to meet her, but she, I feel as though I've met her before while listening to her recordings and listening to her performances. It just means so much to me.
Your grandmother was a very big deal. Here's a recording of her playing Rhapsody by Armenian Edvard Bagdasarian with the USSR Radio and Television Symphony. Conducted by Maxim Shostakovich, no less. That's a YouTube thing, and I saw that one, and there's a picture of your grandma, and I see the family resemblance. I hear the family resemblance. What am I talking about? And I understand she saw some videos of you playing before she died, so there was a little bit of a connection.
No, she's seen me, I think, infant videos of just when I was just first born, but that's...
But
basically,
not playing.
Yeah,
not
playing. It's a few years beforehand.
She could probably tell, though, from the way you were crawling, that you were going to be a great violinist. Okay, got that straight. So your grandmother was a very famous Armenian violinist. Both your parents are Armenian, and we just heard two cuts of music by Armenian composers. I'm guessing your Armenian roots are very important to you.
Yeah, they are. I was born in America, but I don't know where I would be kind of without my Armenian culture and heritage. It's a part of me. I wouldn't be who I am without it. And I've been to Armenia a few times, and just going there almost felt like it was my second home, and I belong there. And I really feel as though it's my duty to be an ambassador for Armenians, since we're such a small people. And I love expressing my Armenian culture through my music.
I want our listeners to know that earlier today, Haig and I had a really fascinating in-depth discussion about Armenian music, composers, culture, beautiful Armenian women. And you can listen to that bonus content by downloading our podcast. Haig, major congratulations are in order. You recently won the Boston Symphony Orchestra's concerto competition. Tell the story about receiving the email that gave you the news.
Okay, story time. I've been in this competition for the past 3 years, and each year I've been accepted into the final round, but I haven't won any of those years except for this year. So I played the competition. They said, "Okay, we'll get back to you in about a week. You'll receive the email." I'm like, "Great, that's another week of anxiety for me." So I had to wait for that one. So Week passes, and I'm anxiously waiting for this email. I'm like, okay, it should be here within these next couple of days. So I get home from school. I'm just relaxing, doing whatever. And all of a sudden, I hear my phone, the email ding, and I immediately know what it is. I know that it's going to be that competition. So I open my phone, and I see that it's from the BSO, from the Boston Symphony. And my heart stopped. I didn't know what to... I didn't want to read it. So I open the email, and it says, "Dear Haig, below is the attachment for the results." And I'm like, "Why? Okay, you couldn't just tell me that? And you have to..." So I have to open this attachment, and I just... And I see "Dear Haig" again, and I'm like, okay, that's enough. I'm not reading anymore. I can't. And then there's a big indent, and I see "Congratulations." And I'm like, okay, are they congratulating me? Honorable mention, third place. I don't know what it is. And then it said that you have been awarded the first prize of the BSO competition. And I haven't been happier in my life. It's been a dream of mine since I was a kid. I remember seeing performances in Symphony Hall with the Boston Symphony. I'm like, I want that to be me one day. That's going to be me. And it finally happened, so I couldn't be happier.
Me too. Well, Haig, we can't wait to hear that performance, and we can't wait for you to come back at the end of the show. We're going to hear you perform again, Gershwin. We're going to look forward to that.
Great. Bravo. Thank you.
Haig Hovsepian, 18-year-old violinist from Belmont, Massachusetts. The great American composer Aaron Copland was the son of Jewish immigrants from Lithuania. We're now going to hear a spirited piece of his played by an 18-year-old flutist from Keller, Texas. His name is Jarrett May. This is the third movement, marked "Lively with Bounce," from Copland's Duo for Flute and Piano. Thank you. Lively with Bounce, the third movement of Aaron Copland's duo for flute and piano, played by 18-year-old Jarrett May from Keller, Texas. Jarrett is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Jarrett, that was awesome. That was beautiful. It was lively with Bounce. Okay, here we are in Atlanta celebrating Jewish music and culture, but you're studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy and missing a lot about your Texas culture, like this. Friday night football, but you're not playing in the game. You are in the marching band and loving it, I understand.
Yes. So before going to Interlochen Arts Academy, I was in the whole marching band thing in Texas. And in Texas, it's a really big deal. We actually, most people don't know, but we rehearse all day, pretty much every day in summers. So yeah, there was lots of good things about marching band, lots of fun trips, exotic places, cool hotel rooms, which are always fun with a bunch of teenagers. But there was some also like downsides of marching band. No, like people don't realize, but the uniforms that we wear are super thick, made of, I don't even know what, super thick, stiff
burlap
material.
Probably,
yes. Yeah. And it's not always fun to wear them in Texas weather during the summer. And also they don't get washed. So
TMI, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, so they don't get washed like during the whole season?
Well, they say that they like hand clean them with like a towel, but I don't believe that.
They
still smell so bad. Oh, and also, we're not allowed to eat in them. So we have to go the whole game without eating. But if you're smart enough, you figure ways to sneak stuff up your sleeves and stuff like that.
Wow.
It's a hard life.
So something else you miss about Texas, the food.
Yes. Okay. So going to school in Northern Michigan, like basically Canada, I didn't realize like how much I loved Tex-Mex. Anyone love Mexican food?
Yeah.
I love Mexican food. It's like always been a part of my life, which is very sentimental. No, I'm just kidding. But so going to Interlochen in Michigan, I found out that there was only one Mexican restaurant in like a 50-mile radius. And it's terrible. It's
we've
the worst
there.
Mexican food I've ever had.
Yeah, we've been there. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Not going to say the name, but if you go there, it's the only Mexican restaurant. So it's terrible.
And let's not forget the Texas soft drink. Oh. Actually, Jarrett, could you whisper what that drink is? We are in Atlanta, home of Coca-Cola, after all.
Yes. So my favorite drink is Dr. Pepper.
Security. But then there's this. What's that sound and why don't you miss it?
So that is the sound, I believe, of an egg frying. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. An egg frying. Okay, so when I was younger and even in marching band, it would get so hot on the pavements that whenever we were hungry, this is also just because we were little and thought it was fun, but you get a piece of foil and you can actually cook an egg in Texas on the concrete during the summers.
That's how I'll always think of Texas from now on. Teenagers in stinky uniforms,
mm-hmm,
drinking Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
And frying eggs on the sidewalk. That's pretty pathetic. That's
yeah,
pretty
it awesome. Is.
Going back to your music, Texas has a lot of exceptional high school bands and orchestras, and you had a life-changing musical experience last year when you were in the All-State Orchestra.
Yes. So my junior year, I had the privilege of being in the All-State Symphony Orchestra with Larry Livingston, who is the conductor at the University of Southern California. And he's just the coolest guy ever. He's like super old, but has so much energy, like so much. And I was really disappointed because the music that we were chosen to play was the Mahler Resurrection Symphony, which is just a huge like low string brass part. And so I was disappointed that I didn't get to play very much in the experience, but I just remember, I love the feeling of being engulfed and enveloped in such big sounds. And I remember at the concert, I was looking around cause counting like my 96 measures of rest or whatever. And I just remember looking around and seeing so many people crying because a lot of people were seniors and it was their last time performing with the orchestra. And also Larry Livingston, you just get attached to him. He's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And I just remember in that moment, I just knew that classical music was something that I wanted to keep in my life forever because for me, the reason why I pick this piece of metal up every day is because I'm always looking for that next high, if that makes sense. Because you always get these little bursts of motivation. I don't know how to explain it, like a tingle through your body whenever something really good comes together. And so that was just one of those moments that really showed me that I love what I'm doing.
It's very easy to cultivate or understand that feeling of, you know, being in an orchestra of 100 people, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that, you know, understandably, and in this community of fellow musicians putting, you know, coming together for this incredibly inspirational mm-hmm. piece of music. But I got to say, I mean, I know that you have that same kind of inspiration and you bring that inspiration to your performance, creating that sense of community and meditation and devotion when you're alone in the practice room and when you're here playing with us today. So really enjoyed that, Jared.
Thank you so much.
18-year-old Jarrett May from Keller, Texas, studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the William Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. Coming up, the Atlanta Young Singers perform a contemporary work written in memory of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Today's show, celebrating Jewish music and Jewish composers, is made possible with support from the Molly Blank Fund of the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation. Additional support provided by the Jewish Federation of Atlanta, the Piedmont National Family Foundation, and the Atlanta Jewish Music Festival. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. We've got another Texan boy up next, but instead of Tex-Mex spices, this man has a lot of Israeli spice in his family brew. Please welcome, from Austin, Texas, 15-year-old guitarist Eitan Ben-Avi. Welcome, Eitan. We'll hear about your connections to Israel in a moment, but first introduce what you're going to play.
I'll be playing Songe Capricorn by French composer Roland Dianz.
Roland Dianz was one of France's great guitar masters of Tunisian and Jewish descent. Sadly, passed away just this past year. Beautiful piece. Looking forward to it. Thank you. Songe Capricorn by Roland Dianz, performed by 15-year-old Eitan Banavi from Austin, Texas. Well, that was a dream in itself. That's quite a performance there, my young man. Beautiful. So before you played, I mentioned that your Texan family has a relationship to Israel. Tell everybody about that.
Yes, so quite a bit of our family lives in Israel now. On my mom's side, she was born in Israel and moved to the States in the third grade, but since then a lot of her family has moved back to Israel. And on my dad's side, he was born in Houston, and the rest of his family was born in America, but a lot of them made Aliyah and moved back to Israel because that's just where they wanted to be.
Yeah. I know you've visited your relatives in Israel a couple of times. Talk about those experiences.
I've been back to Israel twice now. It's always fantastic to go see the family there, and it's such a unique place with all of the history there. There's always like an archaeological site almost on every block in the old city, and so many holy sites everywhere. And it's great just to be back with family. There's, a great sense of community there.
It was a beautiful performance. Thank you, Eitan.
Thank you.
Eitan Banavi, 15 years old, our guitarist from Austin, Texas.
Podcasts are From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
Today, we are at the Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, where we're featuring Jewish music and Jewish composers. In that spirit, let's now hear two Jewish texts set for choir. To sing these, please welcome the Atlanta Young Singers and their director, Paige Mathis. Great pleasure to welcome all of you. Paige, briefly tell us about the Atlanta Young Singers.
Atlanta Young Singers is a 200-member multi-level ensemble. We have about five treble ensembles and a men's choir, and then our top treble ensemble and our men's choir combined to make what we call our youth chorale. And the group today is a subset of our youth chorale. And we've been in Atlanta since 1975.
Fantastic. Can you share a little bit about this first piece we'll hear?
Yes, it's Adonai Roi, and it's written by Judith Shaten, and she is a composer out of the University of Virginia. She's a professor there. And this piece was her personal response to the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in 1995, and it's the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is My Shepherd."
Stage is yours.
Be not destroyed,
The Atlanta Young Singers under Paige Mathis sang Adonai Roi, a setting of the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew by Judith Shaten. That performance was part of From the Top's new music series supported by the Aaron Copland Fund for Music. Before we hear another piece sung by this amazing choir, let's speak briefly with two of its members, Dia Flanaugh, 16 years old, and Ben Wise, 17 years old. That was just breathtaking, that performance. That was just beautiful. Thank you for that. Dia, like a lot of youth choirs, you guys go on tour every year. Some of those tours are international. Last summer, I know you went to a huge choir festival in Canada.
Yeah, that was amazing. It is so fun to just connect with other international choirs and make friends with people who are there for the same reason that you are, which is to sing. So you get to make a lot of new friends from all over the world.
From literally all over? Yeah. Like where are you in touch with people?
I have friends from New Zealand and the Tigerberg Children's Choir in South Africa. So, yeah, everywhere.
Amazing. Ben, I was interested to learn about a program run jointly by the Atlanta Young Singers and the Morehouse College Glee Club.
Yeah, so every year, maybe a few times a year, the Morehouse Glee Club and the AYS, people from like grades 2 through 12 in AYS, invite other guys who like to sing from around Atlanta, and we all meet and rehearse for a day and then put on a concert jointly with the Morehouse Men's Glee Club. And one of my favorite memories in AYS was with this performance. We did an African greeting song called Sorita, and myself and another tenor and a bass put together a trio to do like a call and response in the song. And it was probably the most powerful I've ever felt while I was singing.
Great work. Dia, would you introduce this next piece?
The next piece we are singing is Dona Dona by Shalom Secunda, and it was written for Yiddish theater. It's a little story about a calf and a farmer, and they're going so that the calf can be slaughtered. But the point is, like, the focus is, of the song is about, like, what constitutes as freedom, and the farmer talks about, you know, no one said that you have to be a calf. Like, you can be what you want. It's if you believe that, then you're free. So,
great, great explanation. Our pianist is Millie Turek.
Love and love the whole day through.
Dona Dona, the Calf by Shalom Secunda, sung by the Atlanta Young Singers, conducted by Paige Mathis. Of course, Jewish composers have contributed enormously to the American canon, and so we're going to conclude this special Jewish-themed program with a piece by one of the most beloved American masters, George Gershwin. To play this, please welcome back to the stage our 18-year-old violinist from Belmont, Massachusetts, Haig Hovsepian. Haig, what are we going to finish with?
I'll be playing It Ain't Necessarily So by George Gershwin.
And transcribed by Yasha Heifetz.
Okay.
A great way to end our show today. I want to thank all our great young performers and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Haig, let's take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Aaron Nolan and assistance from Matt Dykeman. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Chris Rando and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now here's my complete break piece from our Atlanta show. This is the first prelude and fugue in C major from Johann Sebastian Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1.